everyone. Welcome to the Community Geek Podcast. My name is Katie Kobe, and I'm head of training for Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Community Geek Podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear great stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure you subscribe for free updates and get all the resources mentioned in the podcast from our show notes. The show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. So today, I am pleased to announce I am joined by Allison Leahy, Community Manager for Fitbit. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We're so lucky to have you. I'm glad to have you here as well. For those that don't know, prior to Fitbit, which is a fantastic little wearable device that allows you to track your daily activities, Allison used to manage the 25,000 plus member customer community at Ning, who were all community managers in their own right. She also led social media and content marketing strategy for Ning as well. Prior to Ning, she was a freelance writer for inhabitat.com, a website devoted to forward-thinking technology and environmentally conscious design. And on the side, she also loves cycling, hiking, and reading about science, which is really great.
All good things, yes.
All good things. So let's get started. Let's jump right into this. The Fitbit community is fantastic, and it's one I'm actually a member of by being a Fitbit customer. And so I do go into the community and participate every now and again, both on the discussions and the help forums. And one of the things that I noticed with having this community and having it be more support-oriented is that Fitbit made a clear distinction between discussions and help forums. And what I'm curious to know is, do you find that having that clear distinction between the product help and more of like the social needs really, really helped to develop more of a sense of community within your forums?
You know, I think it's done a couple things. I do hope that it's led to a stronger sense of community. But I think, you know, what it really allows us to do is create this separate space for all our customers. And currently they are all customers because the community is not public today. Mm-hmm. It's only visible to folks who are signed in to Fitbit.com. Mm-hmm. So what we were really hoping to do is to create a space where, you know, customers could get their support needs met. But understanding that with a device like Fitbit, you have some, you know, some beginner questions, some, how do I track sleep? You know, why is syncing not working? Some of those types of basic questions that you want to get answered one off. But then the majority of the experience is really around health and fitness. And there are just so many topic areas of interest. One of the greatest challenges before launch, I think, was just deciding what types of categories we'd set up for people in the discussions area. So we do have some of our hottest topics are weight loss, get fit, share your story, what's cooking. We recently introduced an improve your Z's forum. So I think for that reason, you know, there is a stronger sense of community within the discussion side. And then the support boards, which are by far the most popular, they do attract about 70% of the visits. But because those are, you know, one and done type of interactions, we're more able, you know, even on the back end analytics side, to separate out those types of member behaviors, which again, I do hope leads to a stronger sense of community, but I don't have the data to back that up at this point.
Gotcha. So with the support boards then, who's primarily responding there? Are you seeing more peer-to-peers or maybe experienced Fitbit users going in and answering the questions for the beginners? Or is it something that your team is spending a lot of time on, making sure that all the questions are being answered properly?
It is remarkably peer-to-peer.
Really? That's great to hear.
Yeah, it is really striking. You know, from the beginning, one of the many reasons I was drawn to Fitbit is just the culture of, you know, our customers, our community members. They're all so excited about this new adventure they may be on. They're also eager to share their knowledge. And I've never been a part of a community where people are so giving with those And again, a lot of the questions, you know, if you're a Fitbit user, you've had that answered for yourself, or you've gone through a period of discovery. So this information is easy to access and easy to share. You know, they aren't difficult technical, really technical questions for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the reasons we do see a lot of first-time posters. They're posting to help and support other members. We do have as far as like the actual volume of support-related posts, our community council is our kind of insider group. It's a small group of members, just under 30 members, mm-hmm. but they are responsible for the vast majority of accepted solutions, which are, you know, the when an original poster comes back and says, yes, this did solve my problem. They do kind of own about 50% of the accepted solutions on the board. And then just behind them are our small group of community advocates and moderators mm-hmm. Who own about 20 to 30% of those accepted solutions and those responses. And so we do have a dedicated staff. We have 10 full-time forum moderators for the English community boards and about 11 or 2 for each of our international boards.
Great.
Yeah.
So are the community advocates and moderators, are they then employees, or are there other members that maybe aren't high enough to be on the community council and then you, but still high enough to get some extra privileges?
So all of our community advocates and moderators are currently full-time employees.
Okay.
But we are looking to expand our member program to include something, you know, below maybe all of the privileges of a community council member, and hoping to roll out some more types of engagement and welcoming onboarding type programming. The Fitbit community is still fairly young. You know, as I mentioned, we're still a closed community. We launched on December 11th of last year. So it's been about 9 months, which, you know, and there's so much more I think we can do to leverage all of our members that are on exactly that are ranking up in kind of forum use and their post count and getting a really intimate and good feel for the forums and visiting every day or every week. But we haven't quite reached the point where we have the ability or the resources to support new programming like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that'll be really great when you start to get some of that into play. And the community council is something I found to be really, really interesting. And it was on my list of questions to ask you today. So with the community council, could you talk a little bit more about that? Like, how do you go in and select these members? What are their responsibilities? Like you just mentioned wanting to have people do more welcome programs, but what do they mostly do right now? And how do you find these people?
Yeah. So, you know, interestingly enough, I was brought onto the Fitbit team back in October with just 2 months to launch this community. And so one of the first things I considered, and without a team, you know, it was myself, and it was an extraordinarily passionate, capable individual with no community background, but very adept.
All right.
Yeah. And a platform designer, website designer. So, the three of us, we each had, you know, very kind of specific tasks and focus. And one thing that I started considering early on is just, how our membership would grow. And I tried to take projections. We had homegrown forums before that were very underutilized, also very bare bones. You know, for example, they were lacking things as simple as HTML. You couldn't embed images. You couldn't hyperlink. You couldn't
get really upset about that sort of thing.
Yeah, it makes it challenging to have a really thoughtful, full discussion.
True.
It was all flat threading, which we do use today and is, you know, potentially preferred, but there were no, it was just very segmented and, really difficult to organize or jump in conversations. So But what I did do, I did, and we didn't have any analytics. So I spent like the first kind of 5 days hanging out in the community, wondering if I would see any types of patterns of behavior, any return visitors, any people who are posting frequently. And to my surprise and delight, I was able to pick out about 20 individuals who are on the boards quite often. They were giving high quality responses. I could tell that their Fitbit knowledge and experience was already running deep. Some of these customers had been with us since the beginning. You know, they owned the Fitbit Classic, the Fitbit Ultra.
Yeah, I have the Ultra.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah, so that's a great tracker that, you know, we our boards aren't super popular for it because we don't sell it today, but
Right.
it's definitely a reliable one. And so anyhow, I had come across, you know, a good 15, 20 people, recognizable names. I pulled some of their contact information and just reached out to them pretty casually to start a conversation about the improvements we are planning to make to the council or to the community, and decided kind of based on those initial interactions that this would that these were members who are interested, engaged, and would be able to help us make the transition. Because for anybody who's transitioned a community onto a new platform, you know some of the challenges you face. I mean, one of the things we did, we sundowned that community, so we didn't import any of the content. And there were some really substantial groups and threads that had formed there. Instead, I had to come up with basically a strategy to kind of identify the most important discussions. And I and would have liked to do it some more, but the reality was we had 2 months to launch, so we just had to kind of decide which content we would be able to transition. And the way we would do it was manually by inviting kind of the discussion leaders around those topics over to the new community. And so I really needed some help, you know, from people who had been there. And so I invited this group. It ended up being about 12 people who stuck with us, and they were the founding members of the community council.
Great.
And yeah, and for a few months, you know, it was just those 12, and we worked through some of the hiccups, some of the layout and design challenges, and just getting new members settled into the new community. What I didn't expect was how the community would take off in that first month. And this was partially due to timing. It was around holiday time, so Fitbit did pretty well last holiday season. A lot of new customers were setting up their trackers for the first time, and they were coming to the community for support, which was really awesome to see. And so for those first few months, it was just those community council members helping us out. And then over time, the way we've introduce additional members to the council is through nomination and through personal invites, and we bring in about two to three every month, and have seen some attrition or some, you know, quiet, a few people quiet down with the season. And so two to three a month really helps us keep a strong core group. And some of the, you know, what we're really looking for is passion, dedication, and then a threshold of posts of votes received and of accepted solutions that just that demonstrate to us basically that the value that they're already providing to the community. And then once we have a few nominations, we put those nominations out to the council so that our existing council members can, you know, get comfortable with the idea, let us know if any interactions they've had with these members have maybe left a sour taste, or if they see any potential conflicts, basically. Because as anyone who's built kind of an internal or an insider group or super group knows, there's a lot of ego, a lot of just a lot of personalities and things to take into consideration.
Right. There's some interesting dynamics that typically are at play.
Exactly. And we don't, you know, the worst thing you could do is just throw more people in there without understanding anything about the impact that might have. So we try to do it on a very slow and rolling basis. And it's nothing like ranking up in a community where you just hit, you know, the certain rank and then you're given all these new privileges. We want to do it in a much more kind of personal way.
Right. And that sounds like it's lasting. I mean, as I'm hearing you talk through these different scenarios and some of the things that you've done, one of the things that's really jumping out to me is that you're really meeting a lot of sort of the social needs that these members have and, you know, really making sure that they are feeling included and that they have ownership over the community itself. Like, and that seems to be a really key win in how you've been able to scale this so well is that, you know, you brought people in early on, listened to their feedback, gave them ownership about it. And then those people are the same people that are still continuing to help you grow it, which is really great to see in practice.
It's exactly that. It's so phenomenal even to see how our relationships have evolved over time. And one thing we've done recently is actually implement an ideas board that's specific to the community council and our moderators, as well as some other Fitbit employees. Have access to this board, and we use it specifically to prioritize feedback around community improvements, you know, as the name suggests, which allows us to give, because previously we were finding lots of great ideas, you know, that can get buried in discussions because we do just have the one private forum. But with the ideas board as well, it's another way to kind of do a gut check, make sure we're meeting those needs from a technical standpoint as well.
And is that board just for community council members or is it for everyone in the community?
It is community council members, community moderators, anybody on the community team, basically, as well as certain Fitbit employees who do engage with the community on a regular basis.
Gotcha. So it sounds like the council members have some special, I mean, aside from their special privileges and elevated status, but they have a little bit more of a closer relationship with the team.
And exactly. And we're working to develop that even further through a few kind of content programs that we'll be shaping up over the next few months.
Yeah. Excited. Can't wait to hear how that goes. Very cool. So I want to take you back to your comments around having to, you know, to switch platforms, having to sunset one platform and switch over to another one. And at that point, finding these initial kind of founding members to help get the buzz going on the new community. So when you're looking, I think it's really easy when you open things up. A lot of advice out there says when you make changes, get the buy-in of your community first because change is always going to be really, really hard. And so I'm curious to know your thoughts. There's a lot of noise if you open up ideas about change to thousands, 10,000 members. And it's not that you won't hear what you want, but that there's so much feedback coming in that it can be overwhelming. So do you recommend when going through a big change like that, is it best to really only privately reach out to a few people who have been like the most active and get their buy-in and get them to help you grow it? Or did you approach it as more of a, this is happening, kind of jump on the rocket ship sort of thing?
We did both. In this case, we couldn't present users with much of a choice because if we had stayed on the old platform,
there were just limited functionality, right? There wasn't a lot for you to do.
We didn't have the resources to build it back up from the code base up. There was nothing we could do to make it the kind of environment we wanted to provide for our customers. So in this case, you know, we did post a banner announcement and we started a discussion in the community, but the intent of the discussion was not to solicit feedback. It was simply to provide information and to let people know, you know, what the experience would be like on that December day when they visited community.fitbit.com. And they had to create a username and then they were going to find this community that maybe didn't host the same conversations, you know. So we wanted to let them know how they could recreate those conversations, We provided assistance to the extent that we could. So there were, I mentioned a few kind of really phenomenal groups and discussion threads that had been going on for a year or more where, you know, 20, 30, 40 people were posting multiple times per day in a single thread about, you know, Fabulous Fit and 50. And they had created a whole subgroup, really within the context of one thread. So for those types of conversations where people felt very strongly and they had already created a very strong sense of community within a single discussion, we helped them to migrate. And again, we didn't migrate any of the actual contents, but we did pull over some lead text and create a new lead discussion and invited those same members to participate.
Gotcha.
Did you
recreate any of the, so for instance, the Fabulous Fit and 50 group, I love that. Did you recreate any of those groups on the new platform and invite them all and say, here's, you know, the new place for you, or did you leave it as a discussion thread?
We invited them directly. So cool. There were several of these pretty exemplary type threads, and they still exist on our discussion forum today, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still some of the, like, every day when I look at the most active threads, they're still the most active threads.
That's so great.
Yeah, in the top 20. It's pretty incredible.
And I think that just actually goes to prove that a common interest in something really trumps everything, that it's not about, like, the technology. Like, people aren't going to stop, you know, visiting your community because of, you know, one feature or the other, or it looks this way or that way. But it's really about the interest and that the relationships that they make with other members. And that just proves that for me, at least.
Yes, exactly. And it was, you know, by kind of tapping into these individuals who are very much the thought leaders and the originators of those types of threads, that's really what allowed us to manage change effectively in this context. Because again, as somebody kind of new to the community, I didn't have as wide a lens on all of the types of activities that were going on. The best I could do was support them, answer their questions, and help them get used to the new platform, you know? But so many of those members did make it over. I will say it wasn't 100% successful, you know, that we got mm-hmm. some pushback, of course, and.
Right.
And some users kind of saw the community and maybe didn't visit for a few weeks, but there was such an influx of new members after that that it's kind of reinforced the idea that it's a fine place to be.
It's a fine place to be. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. I think that the sense of community, even though you said you're not, you know, really measuring it and have hard data on it, just by me going in and participating here and there, I can see that people really do care, and fitness is such a personal thing for all of us. And, you know, when someone writes in about an injury, other people really just want to come to their rescue. And I just find that so cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything special that you do to facilitate relationships between members? Like, if you know someone's new and they're interested in this particular, I don't know, running group or something like that, do you ever put them in touch directly with other members, or do you just kind of like let them find their way?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we do to facilitate relationships between members, and this may sound a little odd, but it's actually merging threads. So we find that, and this is still something we're trying to improve on the design, the fundamental design level, but we're finding that users, and this is the same in all communities, right? Users will create multiple threads about the same topic.
Yes. Yes, they will.
And so we can literally bring those members together by merging their conversations. And we don't do it in every circumstance. You know, you want to take stock of the context, the types of participation and engagement any of those threads are currently receiving. But that is one of the ways we bring members with kind of common interests or pain points together. Another is by at mentioning users. Mm-hmm. So if part of our process our community moderators and advocates engage in is they'll assess a conversation and then use the advanced search facility to search the community for related topics or, and then just at mention a user who may have some good information to share and link out to other threads. And then on a smaller scale, a much smaller scale, we will reach out to users privately, and we specifically kind of target our new hot users. So those users who maybe were quiet for a while, but now they're posting more frequently, or, you know, for some reason their engagement has seen an uptick in the past week. And so we keep an eye on those members and try to really use them to or introduce them, I should say, to some other members with similar interests who may be a little more timid. Mm-hmm. And we have some internal target goals for this. It's, you know, it's on a small scale. It's less than 25 per week, but we're slowly growing that type of interaction. And we're seeing a really positive response to that type of engagement. You know, the one thing we have difficulty tracking is how that relationship kind of continues to evolve over time. But what it does do is it gives the original, you know, member who's kind of increasing their participation a little more incentive and a direct connection to a Fitbit employee, which is which often, you know, people are really grateful for and excited by.
Yeah, people love being able to contact the company. It's I find that it's so interesting in every company or every community that I look at, just how much it matters for customers to have that touch point and be able to talk to someone there. It really does mean the world to them.
Yeah.
Are there any, so with the discussion side of things, I can see a lot of reasons why, like, the moderators and community advocates would participate a lot in the help forums. But on the discussion side of things, when you're talking about, like, improving your Z's or losing weight, where does your team sort of step in there? Do you tend to just let the community handle it, or do you guys ever write in with your own experiences? How do you handle the moderation of those threads as well?
It's sort of a mix. So, and I have to distinguish here between the English forums and the international forums. So our English community forums do attract over 95% of traffic and content. And we take a very different approach to discussions, in these forums. Mostly what we see is that community members really, they take care of each other, they take care of themselves in these threads. There have literally only been a handful of times where we've had to step in to moderate for mm-hmm. any means. And usually it's just trollish behavior, somebody mm-hmm. being insensitive or rude. We don't generally participate. Maybe once per week we'll kind of chime in on a discussion that interests us. And the majority of my team loves the What's Cooking threads. Mm-hmm. I guess we're all
foodies at heart.
Yeah, foodies at heart. So definitely sharing recipes. We do a bit of that. For weight loss and get fit, we have to be a bit careful. You know, of course, it's a community and it comes with the disclaimer that you shouldn't necessarily take all of the information you find here as the information from your nutritionist or doctor. Mm-hmm. But we would never want to put ourselves in a position where we're recommending a certain type of fitness routine.
Right.
Because, you know, just because you run the risk of being identified as a Fitbit employee, somebody might take you more seriously when it isn't right for them. So that's one of the considerations. But what we do is actually lead discussions. So we have, again, some internal targets where we want to create a new discussion, a few new discussions per week for these forums. And The content is pouring into the English forum, so it's not as big of a concern there to create new content. You know, we've reached kind of that critical mass peak that a lot of communities really look forward to, wherein the community is creating the vast majority of content.
Mm-hmm.
But for our international forums, that's really not the case. You know, we see 1-2% of traffic. We see that there is a need for really community moderator led discussions. So our targets are very different there, and the way we facilitate and lead discussions is very different. You know, we create discussions. Sometimes we even borrow from the English forums some discussions that have been successful there, translate it, localize that content, and lead discussions, literally invite people to participate in those discussions. So that's kind of the difference. And, you know, I think obviously it's an attractive space of the community to be in when you're handling support cases all day, you need a little bit of relief. So that's how we approach the discussion side of the community, is like, it's a chance to mingle and get to understand our customers in a different way. And we're still very aware and pay attention to it, but might not necessarily engage as regularly.
Gotcha. No, that makes a ton of sense, especially I didn't even think of that aspect. Even if you're just writing a discussion or sharing what workout routine works for you, that could easily be construed as you giving advice, which opens up a whole range of legal mishaps and legal issues there. So I could definitely understand why you would have to be careful about doing that.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, we are just about out of time for the day. So thank you so much, Allison, for your time and for sharing all these stories and insights with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. You know, one thing I did want to say is just that although we aren't measuring the sense of community, we haven't done that study yet. The reason is we currently have a pretty awesome survey going up on our community, which maybe you've seen. We're serving it up to about 30% of our users now. And we're very interested in getting a better understanding of community use for ROI. Of course, that's kind of our reason for existence today,
right?
Is to case deflection and all those great things that a support community can provide. And then next around, we will be doing the sense of community index. We'll be releasing that to a good, we should have a pretty substantial feedback on that. So hopefully next time we'll get to talk about what that looks like and, you know, revisit it every 3 or 4 months. It's pretty awesome for me to be able to have access to some of our research tools and pretty sophisticated survey tools like Qualaroo and Qualtrics. And I just piggyback on our market research team. So if anybody wants to follow up with me on the Community Geek forums about kind of what we're doing there, I'd be happy to chat about that more.
I think that would be great, because the measurement piece of this, especially as it relates to asking people those questions, did this solve your problem? You know, yes or no? Did you not call support because of this? I think that's a really, really big component in terms of measurement, and something that once you go through all the effort of deploying a community platform, it's kind of that one more piece that people are just like, oh, whatever, I'll deal with it later. But it really, really does give you that like true number. So I would love to hear more. Let's definitely like chat about it on the Community Geek forums, but perhaps even have you back on the show a little bit later down the line to talk more about that whole experience and what worked, what did you learn, all of that kind of good stuff. Because I think that's the next key where I see a lot of community managers, we're going to have to get a little bit better about, you know, asking the right types of questions to really be able to tie things back to ROI in a positive way. So,
yep, I would love to come back and chat about that, because we've had the survey running for about 30 days, and I've already learned some really actionable items that we're going to make some design interventions for, and
great,
then test again in another month or two. So,
oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to hear how that turns out. Well, everyone, if you like this episode, make sure to visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review the show notes. There, I will list Allison's Twitter handle as well as links to some of the other resources and things that we mentioned today. And Allison, again, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Wherever you are, I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.